Hallelujah. I want to preach, but I want to bring something else to you first. You know, we have a word every year, and our word this year is authority. Everybody on board with that? No? I'm going to preach a little bit more about that. I've been kind of stepping gently into authority so that we can all understand it and take it with us. I'm going to talk about believers' authority today. Your authority. You have authority. Hey, Norm. You have authority. It's not on? Hello? That's on. I'm rocking here. But I want to first give you a bunch of words that the Lord gave me on January 1st. I want to release it to the general church, and because it's a prophetic word, there's a judging that takes place, right? We all understand the difference between Old Testament and New Testament. In the Old Testament, if a prophet had a bad word, you invited him to a rock concert to get stoned. Do you understand that? If a prophetic word was wrong, you killed him with rocks. Right? Am I glad I'm a New Testament man? Because in the New Testament, there's a whole different procedure for it. And it's in 1 Corinthians 14, verse 29. Let two or three prophets speak, and let the others weigh what is said. Okay? You catch what's happening there? There's room for wrong. Those that are prophetic should be weighing what is said. And if it's wrong, there should be correction, right? So let the others weigh what is said. If there is if a revelation is made to another sitting there, let the first be silent. For you can all prophesy one by one, so that all may learn and be encouraged. And the spirits of the prophets are subject to the prophets. For God is not a God of confusion, but of peace. You hear the difference there? There's a place for us all to learn, and that place is in a corporate meeting. So we can bring a prophetic word, and it can be wrong, but we need to weigh it. Right? And so I'm going to bring you a prophetic word. I want you to weigh it. It's not just, oh, good, that sounded good, let's just go on from here. If you weigh it and it is good here, there is a corporate authority that is attached to a word that brings it to completion. It's an amazing thing. The word of God going forth. And so Old Testament prophecy was one thing. New Testament prophecy is a whole different fish. And we need to treat this as a New Testament prophecy, because we now are the righteous. Remember, I've talked about it many times. It's a habitation culture now, not a visitation culture. There would be one or two prophets in a nation in the Old Testament in a visitation culture, where God would visit somebody and speak his word to them and they would deliver the word. But we live in a habitation culture where God lives within us all the time. Totally different. So, new rules. One of the new rules is you gotta weigh the prophetic word. It's not about tickling your ears or, gee whiz, that's a good prophecy. I want that one. You know, it's about weighing it corporately. Is this a word that we're going forward with? Is this an encouragement? So I want to deliver something to you, and you need to weigh it, okay? So I present this to you, and it's a few written pages. So, my son, it is good to meet with you. It is right, you are right in seeking me for guidance for the year. Now, he starts speaking corporately here. I represent you, right, before him. I am with you always and in every way. I have good things for you and will prosper you in the year 2016. It too will be a year full of grace. We were tested last year in our word of grace. So it too will be a year full of grace. My empowering presence. You must continue to acknowledge my presence and to enter my gates regularly. Okay? If you receive this word, then that's a part of what you're called to. That's where some of the power comes from. Entering his gates regularly. My heart is yours at this time. You are the apple of my eye. You are the apple of God's eye. I will keep you and uphold you. I will be your delight this year. I will break the power of debt in your lives. Poverty will flee away. It has been a harsh taskmaster and guided your thoughts and actions. You will see the change this year. Fear and worry have pressed in hard against you. Let me say that again. Fear and worry have pressed in hard against you. I will show you a love that will cause fear and worry to be dispelled from your mindset. You will be amazed. I have loved you with an uninterrupted love. Miracles, signs, and wonders will break forth in your sight. You will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. The things that you have been seeking me for will break forth before you this year. Depression and despair will flee before you. Darkness cannot stay where you are. My manifest presence will be with you this year in new ways, shaking your foundations and showing you my love. Love is a word that will become new and exciting to you this year. Goodness and mercy will follow you. Favor will walk ahead of you and pave your way. I would that you would begin to focus on life and life abundant, to see what that means to me and how I have it for you. Live it and give it lavishly. Glory will take on a new meaning to you and will encourage you greatly this year. My glory will become a new focus to you. I will manifest my glory in new ways this year. Your hearts will be renewed toward the poor this year. Your hearts joined with mine for the unlovely amongst you. Joy will abound in your midst. My joy will fill you and your meetings. Walk in humility and love. Carry my presence everywhere. I have stirred your hearts with desires that you have been afraid to even give voice to. You will see those desires begin to take form this year. You will be encouraged. I will take you to places this year that will cause you to draw closer and closer to me. There is none like me. Peace, my peace, will take new shades of meaning for you this year. I will reveal my power to you in new ways. Give peace liberally. As I have met you in every circumstance this last year, I also meet you in each one this next year. Let not your hearts be troubled. Thank you for tending to those that I place before you with tenderness and kindness. You minister to me directly when you extend yourself to others. This year will see much turmoil in the world around you. Stay hidden in me, and it will not touch you. I am your source and your protection. I am restoring hope to you where you have become worn down, and let go of dreams. I am the restorer of dreams. So that's the word. Is that a word from God? So by accepting it and judging it, weighing it, we say yes, Lord, to all of that. And we look forward to His pouring it out. There's a power in corporate acceptance and declaration that isn't there in individual stuff. It's like corporate praise. I can praise at home all day long, and I get to a place that's wonderful. But when I come in here, it just explodes inside of me, because corporate praise is so much more than individual praise. When we come together, oh, it's magnificent. And so that's it. So I think that's what we're looking forward to. This year, as you know, is a year of Jubilee. The Hebrew year 5776. It's the 70th year of Jubilee. Yeah. So expect great things. Be looking for great things, because He's going to pour it out upon us. Okay. Now I want to preach. Authority. I want to go to 2 Corinthians 5 and 19. Now we have communion to take care of yet today, and it's going to be fun. And we have food truck downstairs, all before Super Bowl. We got to get you in, get you fed, get you out, so you can get home and watch the games. To God be the glory. 2 Corinthians 5:19. Oh, just by the way, Bob Jones, whether you like him or not, had a dream before he died. He's graduated and gone to be with the Lord. And in the dream, the revival broke out when the Carolina Panthers won the Super Bowl. Now I didn't read in that they have to win the Super Bowl to release the revival. I think there's a recognition that's the timing. You know, it just happens that they won and the revival was released at the same time. Whether that's true or not, you get to see. It was a dream. Hey? Carolina Panthers are in the Super Bowl. Today you will know whether they win or not. And they have the most incredible quarterback. Oh, he scares me. He's huge. Revival. So if they win, look for revival. Now, I am not calling for that. It's not my dream. Yeah. It's just about time for revival. And you know, it may, you know, the way they used to say the revival happened is in the 16th year of King so-and-so, the revival broke out. But now, who are we going to say that about? You know, in the 8th year of King Obama? So instead, God says, when the Carolina Panthers win, that's the year it happens. I think it's all there, good, you know, like just having fun with it. 2 Corinthians 5:19 says, that is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to Himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. Now that's a wonderful scripture, isn't it? What's it saying? It says that God isn't concerned about sin. Sin messes us up, and he's concerned about us. But he dealt with sin as far as the big issue. You guys are sinners, and you can't come into my presence until you deal with all that sin stuff. So I'll give you the sacrifices, and I'll give you a means to make it up to me. But Jesus became the sacrifice. We were reconciled to God. And he the sin issue isn't there. He's okay with everybody in the world if they'll come to him. Right? There's not one that has to jump through an extra hoop. Well, you're the worst sinner we've seen this week. So you got... It's not like that. The thing that the barrier that was between God and mankind has been dealt with. And now we are the ones that bring the message of reconciliation. So God comes back 3 minutes from now, because I want to finish this, but three minutes from now. Does everybody in the world get to go to heaven? No, just those that have accepted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Believe in your heart, all that stuff, right? So the ones that, the world was reconciled to God. But not everybody gets the reward until they actually accept it and move into that place. I'm going somewhere with this, believe it or not. There is a responsibility for each person to move into the thing that they have. So each of you here, individually, we didn't do it all at once, as we're drinking our Kool-Aid. Individually, you came to a relationship with him. And you accepted, and you believed in your heart that Jesus was raised from the dead and accepted him as your Lord and Savior. So you qualify now for eternal life with him. It's all there for you. But you did something to move into that place. Now some, I heard our Pastor Dave here, he's in charge of our youth, he was saying that he used to get saved every time they had chapel at school. And I'm with him there. He just said that yesterday morning at the men's breakfast, which was awesome. You men who missed it, great food, great company. It was, yeah. There's one again next month, so you can repent and be there. Was he saved? Was he not saved? He was moving into it, and so there's a place where we, where we overcome the thoughts in our minds and the processes in our minds. There's a place for us to move into that understanding that, oh, I am saved. And I don't have to weep and wail every chapel service. I know that I'm saved. And so from that place of knowing, you can move forward. You've taken a territory at that time. And so there's a process for us. And there is something that we actually have to take a hold of in our lives in order to reap the reward. Was the reward just put there for you that day? Or was it there since the cross? It's always been there. And your acceptance of it moved you into that place. So I'm going to be talking to you very shortly about authority. Now, authority is something that most of the church gives, I don't mean us here, I mean the church worldwide, right? Most of the church recognizes could well be there, but they allow God to have the authority and us to just be servants and move along. But I want to prove to you today that Jesus gave us authority. And it's up to us, like we had to take the step for salvation, like we actually had to move into that place of salvation, we must move into our authority and actually use our authority in order for that authority to have any value. Does that make sense? I'm in the right place. I don't want to go preach at the Legion, you know. So reconciliation is for all, is for everybody. The authority is there too. It's not just for the pastor to have. Right? I'll be responsible with it. You can leave it with me if you want. But it's for each of us. And it's for each of us to actually use. And we'll go over a couple of things, but catch the concept. God said to us that these things will follow those who believe. Those who believe, not the pastors who are leading those who believe. They will heal the sick. They will raise the dead. Like, that stuff is for us all. Well, you look around and you think, well, they couldn't handle it. They'd abuse it. You know? That's not God's problem. I used to, this is a confession. I've confessed it before, but I used to not share the gospel with a lot of people because I would look at them and think, you are too weak. You will never make it as a Christian. I will be wasting my breath if I shared the gospel with you, and I would move on. Sorry. God gave me one of those whack in the back of the head. You know, it's not up to me. It's not up to me to decide who gets in and who's weak and who isn't weak and who would mishandle it. And no, it's God. He will complete what he started. It's not my choice. And some of you should be glad it's not my choice. He is so good. But he's entrusted us. And let me go into that. Ephesians 1. I'm going to read a little bit to you here. Ephesians chapter 1. My sweet wife is doing a Bible study on Ephesians, so I get to hear these things pass by us. Ephesians 1 and verse 16. And I want to read through 20. I do not cease to give thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. This is Paul the Apostle talking to the church which is in Ephesus. I do not cease to give thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of him. Now, understand what we're reading here is a prayer. I'm going to read two prayers to you, one from the end of verse 1 and the one from the end of chapter 1 and one from the end of chapter 3. That the Father of glory may give you the spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of him. Those two things will make such a difference in your life. Spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of him. Having the eyes of your hearts enlightened, that you may know what is the hope to which he has called you. What are the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints? And what is the immeasurable greatness of his power toward us who believe? According to the working of his great might, that he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in heavenly places. So he's praying that these things will be revealed to us. Wisdom and revelation, this stuff would come to us. The incredible power that God used to raise Jesus from the dead. It was the most, you think that the Big Bang was a big deal? There was more power used in resurrecting Jesus Christ from the dead, defeating death, than there was in the Big Bang. Death was defeated. Death was a for sure entity. It had great power. It had so much power that it had power over every single person that ever lived. Every single person that ever lived. But Jesus was resurrected by a power that was greater than any power that had ever been shown before. The power to raise him from the dead. So, so amazing. And he has that for us. So let's go to Ephesians 3 and verse 14. It's another prayer. For this reason, Ephesians 3:14. For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, that according to the riches of his glory, he may grant you to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love, there's a key word there, rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and the length and the height and the depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now just imagine for a moment how big the fullness of God is. The fullness of God who created this entire universe. Worlds that are many times bigger than our earth. Suns that are bigger than that, and the stars, and the universe that unfolds further than we have an ability to see with all of our technology. The fullness of God is in you. How does that work? I don't know. I read a delightful quote this week. A Nobel Prize winner from 1915, I think. Scientist, he said, science and God are opposed in the same way your thumb and forefinger are opposed. And them working together can grasp anything. Isn't that amazing? What a way to see. Yeah. So our understanding of God and through science, we can grasp things just like you can with your thumb and your forefinger. Spirit of wisdom and revelation. Back to Ephesians 1 and verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. Okay? Has blessed. Does that say when you finally achieve what I've asked you to do, it will be put into your account? It's past tense. I already did it. You are already blessed. When are you going to move into it? When are you actually going to take advantage of it? When are you going to stop believing the stupid liar, the prince of the power of the air who's been lying to you all your life, and move into what God, the truth, because he is the truth. That's not a concept. He is the truth. I am the way, the truth, and the life. what he speaks to you, you don't believe. But what the devil speaks to you, you believe. Well, I don't have enough money this month. Jesus said he'd take care of everything. You'll be alive at the end of the month. It's amazing what he does. There's always more than enough, and we just don't recognize it. We'd rather believe, oh, I don't have enough. I can't, you know. I'm talking to myself. I've been there so many times. Authority belongs to us whether we realize it or not. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with just the spiritual blessings that we deserve. No. With every spiritual blessing. Now, that doesn't mean just the ones that pertain to North Americans or just to Africans or just, you know, what Chinese, whatever it is. It's every spiritual blessing. Every spiritual blessing. Now, do you suppose it's a spiritual blessing that in heaven there is no lack? I think it is. I think that's a blessing. I don't want to go to heaven and be thinking, I wonder where my rent's going to come from this month. It's a spiritual blessing. Do you suppose it's a spiritual blessing that there are no tears in heaven? Or that there is no sickness or pain in heaven? Is that a spiritual blessing? No, that's a physical blessing, Pastor. I get it right. Think it through. It is a spiritual blessing. And he's already given it to us. Right? I'm going slow so you can pick it up. Because you haven't so far. If you had, you would be living differently. Now, please work with me here. We haven't picked it up, so I'm going slow for a purpose. Pastor's stupid. He can't talk fast. No, he... He's working with me. There's a reason for it all. We have been given authority. It belongs to us already. John 8, verse 32. The Gospel of John, chapter 8, verse 32. And you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. You will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Jesus Christ is the truth. Hosea 4:6 says, my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. I won't look that up. You can look it up, but that's what it says. My people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. If somebody didn't explain to you that if you accepted Lord Jesus Christ, you would go to heaven, you would not be going to heaven. You would be destroyed for a lack of knowledge. Right? Follow that through. For a lack of knowledge, you would be destroyed. And the same way, authority is yours, but unless you walk into it and know that it's there and believe God for it, have faith and start to move in it, that lack of knowledge will destroy you. Because the enemy will come against you. It's not my word, it's his. So let's go to Luke 10. Look in Luke chapter 10 and verse 19. Jesus is talking to his disciples and through his disciples to us. Behold, I have given you authority to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. Nothing shall hurt you. Nothing shall hurt you. Now in the King James it says, behold, I've given you power to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. This English Standard Version better interprets that word authority in the first sense, because it's that word exousia that we've been talking about already. Exousia, that's authority. That is delegated power, the authority that comes from him. He has given us authority. Behold, I give you authority to tread upon serpents and scorpions. It doesn't say, go ahead and search out serpents and scorpions just so that you can test me in this. All right? I've given you authority to go ahead and do it. You needn't fear if they show up, but don't go looking for them. There are churches that hold up snakes and pastors die of snake bite. I don't want to do that. Because they're testing God in it. You know, it says that, so therefore let's do that. But he gave you a brain too. Like, that stuff is just not smart. But if it happens upon you, like it did to Paul. Paul is stoking the fire, you know, after they've been shipwrecked, and this viper leaps out of the wood and clamps onto his hand, and everybody says, "Whoa, he must have been a murderer," you know, that God's going to kill him anyway, you know. And he just shakes it off. No swelling, no sickness. The power of the enemy is for naught when it came across his path. He didn't go through the wood pile saying, "Here, sneaky, sneaky, sneaky," looking for something. When it happened, he took care of it because he knew he had the authority, right? Now, do you understand? We talked about how the Trinity deals with authority, right? None of them says, "I'm the big boss today." They all say, no, look at him, look at him. Honor him, you know, do what he says. You know, Jesus says, "I only do what I see the Father doing." The Father says, "This is my Son in whom I'm well pleased." You know, they're forever falling over each other. And the Holy Spirit is always, you know, glorifying Jesus and teaching us about Jesus and the Father. And it's just, you know, they fall over each other saying, "Oh, no, you first. I love you," you know, and if you can catch that, that's the authority that we walk in. It's not about, "Hey, I'm the big pastor here. I'm the executive pastor." No, I'm the executive senior pastor. You must do what I say. If I think you're worthy, you may carry my Bible. What's that about? That happens. Makes me ill, but like if my brother wants to carry my Bible, that's great. If that's something that God's put on his heart, that's great. But for me to demand that so that he would learn humility, that is not honoring of me. I honor my brother. We just haven't put it together, have we? Authority is delegated power. A traffic cop, right? Traffic police officer. And I honor them, right? He is moving under authority, right? Everybody understands that he moves under authority. And in his moving under authority, because he's been placed there, and behind him is all the power of the police force. And behind the police force is all the power of the local government and then the regional government and then the federal government. They all stand behind this policeman. He has authority. It's delegated to him, right? Now, with that authority, he has the power to direct cars. So, cars are coming this way. Stop. And because of his delegated authority that is recognized, the car will stop. right? If he was moving in his own power, he could not stop the vehicle. It would run over him, because one human power does not equal 230 horsepower. The power of the car is greater than the power of the person unless he's moving in delegated authority. So he can't, I cannot physically stop a car anytime. It will move right over me. But if I am under authority and I go stop, they stop. And it's that delegated authority that we move in, right? It's only the delegated authority. It's not so that I look good. It's so that God is glorified. It's not so that everybody will know me as the senior executive pastor that just has to look in your direction and you're healed. That's not what the authority's for. It's about Jesus being glorified. It's about the Father being recognized for his glory and the Holy Spirit being lifted up as the mover in our midst who brings about signs and wonders. And if we can catch that and keep it in balance, it's amazing. There have been people along the way that have read the word and said, well, God is God. I was made in his image, therefore I am God. Now you can deduce that out of the word. You can make the word say just about anything you want, but it doesn't make any sense. And it will not have peace in your heart if you stop for just a moment and let the Prince of Peace, who is your umpire, check it out for you, right? We get to check with him about those things. Is this guy really God? Oh, well, it seems like a lie to me. And then you know. And it's so amazing. Smith Wigglesworth one time was, where does my time go? Anyway. Smith Wigglesworth was standing in London at a bus stop, and this woman came out of one of the little row houses, and her little dog came with her. And her little dog, she said, "Oh, go home, Scampi," you know. And the dog didn't obey, wagged its tail and followed her. And so she's walking further out to the bus stop. Where Smith Wigglesworth was, and you know who Smith Wigglesworth was? He's an amazing worker of miracles, signs, and wonders. Just, yeah, he's one of God's generals. But anyway, he's watching this woman, and she comes a little further, and she says, "Scampi, go home." I don't know if Scampi was in the dog's name, but it's, "Go home." And the dog didn't listen. And so the bus arrived. And so she looked at the dog and went, "Get!" The dog went home. And Smith Wigglesworth started jumping up and down at the moment and says, "That's the way to treat the devil. That's the way to move in authority. That is authority. The rest of it is is Canadians being Canadian." Be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Ephesians 6:10. You be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. 1 John 4:4 says, "Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world." Turn with me to one more scripture, and I'll just kind of bring it all together here. Matthew 28:18. Now we've gone over this in the past. Matthew 28:18 says, "And Jesus came and said to them, all authority," all authority. Say all authority.
All authority.
"All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me." It's So who has the authority?
Jesus.
Jesus. Say Jesus.
Jesus.
Jesus is the answer, right? All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Now, work with me here. You got to actually think. This isn't a time to be thinking roast beef sandwiches and the food truck after pastor shuts up. Yes. No. Work with me here. Who is the head of the church?
Jesus.
Very good. We just said Jesus is the answer, and you guys caught it. Somebody's thinking. Jesus is the head of the church. Who is the body?
We are.
You're thinking. Okay. Now, if the authority has been given to the head, do you suppose it has not been given to the body? Now, this is a practical God we're talking about, right? He thought about intake and the other stuff. And all, he worked it all out. You're not just getting fatter and fat. Well, some of us aren't. he worked it all out. This is the way things work. If I give something to my brother's head, his entire being gets it. Right? So all authority is given unto Jesus. Who is Jesus' body? Right. Right. So where is all authority residing right now? In us. Okay. Authority is an amazing word. Must be used in balance, but we walk in it because it resides in us. I am the body of Christ. If Jesus wants to cuddle a baby now, does he do it with his ears? Because he doesn't have a body except for us. He does it with the body of Christ, which is you. If he wants to show love to someone, he uses you. When he wants to give money to someone, he uses you. Whoa. You mean he might have been talking to me when the offering bag went around? Yeah. Because he gives you the money, and he wants you to respond to him, to be his body, and to be under authority, his authority. And when we move under authority, then we move in authority. And anything that we move in for the kingdom and for his glory that is good for the body, which I am a part of, is all there. So having your needs met is kindergarten stuff. It's the first level of coming into the kingdom. That's why he talks about tithing and that kind of stuff being good for you. That's where your first test usually is will you believe me for your finances? There isn't enough money at the end of the month, Lord. And he said, well, you give it to me, and I'll be responsible for the end of the month. And I don't know one Christian, I haven't met one anyway, that died waiting for the month end because they had no money. There was always money. It didn't seem like it because it's tied to their level of faith. And if your level of faith is whining and squalling all the time about there not being enough, there won't be enough. But once you've seen a miracle, you can never come from a place of not... from a place of lack again. Like Pastor Samuel put up a scripture this morning, 2 Corinthians 8:12. This is just off the top, 2 Corinthians 8:12. For if the readiness is there, if it is acceptable according to what a person has, not according to what he does not have. And we're talking about money. Your abundance at the present time should supply their need. That's what it says a little further down. It's talking about, so according to what a person has, it is acceptable according to what a person has, not according to what he does not have. What you do not have, if you have seen a miracle, is that place of, I don't have anything. You come from a place of, I have something. Thank you that I have something. And you've given me enough for this circumstance. And I will thank you for that. And then if multiplication is necessary, he's the one that does it. It's acceptable to only come from a place of what you have, not from where you do not have. You see that? That's a kingdom principle. Come from the place of what you have. So if you have $10 in your wallet, you have something. I don't have enough money for the end of the month, Lord. You have something. Thank you that I have all of this $10. And I will have enough when the time comes. And that starts to be the place where he needs to move into, meeting your need, because you are his body. He's not going to see his body in a place of deprivation, right? Do you deprive your baby toe because it's been bad? No, well, that would be idiotic. You treat it well. Right? Is it making sense? It's amazing what he has for us. Absolutely amazing. And if we begin to understand authority, that it's delegated and it always should be in balance, then we have authority to move into all of those things that we'd wished would be happening. But our wishing is not going to make it happen. It's us moving in authority. Because all authority has been given to us, moving under authority.